And the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus was called and his disciples unto the feast. When the wine was lacking, the mother of Jesus said to him, they do not have wine. And Jesus said to her, what is that between me and thee, woman? And my hour has not yet come. And his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. And there were there 6 water pots, according to the purifying of the Jews. They contained about 2 or 3 measures of tea. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. And he said to them, draw out now and bear to the ruler of the feast. And they bore it. And as the ruler of the feast tasted the water, which had become wine, and did not know whence it was, although the servants knew who had drawn the water, he called the bridegroom, that is, the ruler of the feast called the bridegroom, and said to him, every man sets forth his good wine first, and then whenever people are drunken, they pourer. But you have kept the best wine till now. The first of the miracles Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Several things are really vital and significant here. I think the most important is the difference between the water and the wine. In one place, Christ said, I am the life-giving water. I am the water of life. Yet here, the figure shifts from water to wine. And the difference is this. When water is, well, let me say first that Christ, when he referred to himself as the water of life, used the figure of a river and of a well, an artesian well, in which case the water is a fresh thing daily, constantly renewed. And there is the daily renewal of life-giving spirit. At this point, let me say this, that the life of Christ, his Holy Spirit, I should say, should be renewed in us daily, or rather should be a constant flow, because yesterday's religion is not good enough for today's life. You cannot take the things of God and put them in a rucksack over your back, you see, and carry them with you. It's got to be a fresh, vital, living experience. That's why the most simple thing that anyone can do is to talk to the Lord and speak to him before you leave your house in the morning, or before you get out to the business of the day, to get a fresh touch from Christ, fresh reality, realization of what and who he is. And that comes from a little fellowship with him, a little fellowship with Christ. Now, there are lots of people that can say, well, I don't do well until the last hour of the day, and I like mine at noon and all that sort of thing, and that's well and good, but you're going to have a lot easier time of it every day if you have a fresh fellowship with Christ every day. The same is true in your family relationship. By one means or another, let his wife know, let his children know how much he appreciates them. Every day. It is not good enough to say, well, my wife ought to know I love her. Or the husband to say, well, the wife say my husband ought to know I love him, and the husband say my wife ought to know I love her. That isn't enough. The words caress the soul. So it isn't enough to say they ought to know that. Your young people, how long since you spoke to them in commendation? Even your littlest children. What were the last words you spoke to them? Probably something negative. I dare say if we took a poll of whoever of you here in the room have children, the last thing you said to them was negative today. To keep the fresh flow of human emotion and love and reality going, there has got to be the daily expression. And the same in our relationship to Christ. The daily expression of fellowship with him. Now, here in the water-wine thing, you're dealing with water that was standing. Water, as a natural product, stagnates. It will not keep. The water of life which was the Jewish religion, had stagnated. It had ceased to become a flow between them and God, and it had become a stagnant cistern of religious formalities. The Pharisaical system was not a flow from God to man. It was a purely religious thing that was stagnating. You put a bottle of water on the sink, leave it there, and it won't be long before it's going to start growing things. The difference here between the water and the wine was that the wine lasts. It is permanent. Now, you couldn't probably set a bottle of wine on the sink and leave it without it boiling. I'm not sure any of you are setting bottles of wine on the sink, but it has to be kept in a cool, damp place, you see, for the preservation. But still, you couldn't put a bottle of water in a cool, damp place and keep it for 10 years, you see, without it getting stagnant. But you could keep the wine for 10 years, and if it was the right time, it might even be better as far as wine goes. It's permanent. So when the water grew stale in the Jewish religion, what was required was a touch of the divine to turn that stagnant religion into vital life. So Christ was the ingredient added that changed the entire picture. And taking Christ into the heart preserves life. The natural man deteriorates. Without Christ in the life, a person constantly deteriorates. In attitude, in habits, you get ornery and ornery as you get older. Unless, of course, Christ is in the heart. I hate to add that. If you've ever been much around the convalescent homes, you know what happens. Apart from a vital, dynamic fellowship with Christ, a person just gets more set in their ways and ornery all the time. Life has its way of stagnating on us, the pleasures that people seek, people who go for pleasure per se, you know, just are seeking happiness through some kind of fun or pleasure only. I mean, if this is their thing, these things stagnate. They become stale and old. You know that it doesn't take very long for the most interesting experiences of life to become stale. The traveling person, for example, can tell you how quickly it becomes stale. The businessman who's flying about the country on business errands and so forth and staying at plush hotels, you know, good hotels and eating good food and so forth, can tell you how wearisome it becomes. And people look at him and say, boy, that's an exciting life. He's flying about here and there, living high on the hog, but it's a pig's life. It gets stale awfully fast. Life gets stale. The only thing that keeps life vital and fresh, ebullient, is the presence of Christ. So Christ takes the old, stale, religious thing of the Jews and touches it with the divine spark, and it takes on new life and new meaning. And Christ said, I did not come to do away with the law, I came to fulfill it. When Christ touches the life, things begin to live again. You can move into the most difficult situations and touch it with Christ, and something begins to happen. I'm not talking about an immediate solution to all the problems, but something begins to happen when you bring Christ into the picture. And the old stagnant pond begins to clear up a little bit. Things begin to change. But what Christ brings into the life is, of course, the permanence thing. The permanent stability, the permanence of life, the permanence of truth and of fellowship, and so forth. He is the fountain of youth. Everybody has looked for the fountain of life, but it just isn't the fountain of youth, but it just isn't around anywhere.
except as Christ touches the life. And then every day of your life becomes full. If you will share that day with Christ, if you, when you wake up in the morning, before you ever roll out of bed, or if you can, before you ever get into your work today, if you'll have some fellowship with Christ, it'll make a difference. It'll make a better day for you. Then you can take whatever comes during that day and see in it the moving of God for your own health, one way or another. All of this is from Christ, and your life will then become an exciting thing instead of a dull thing, no matter what it is that you're doing. Or you say, well, how can you make an exciting life out of, say, teaching school? Well, it could become a disconcerting thing by the end of a year, wrestling these kids around. But if you go in with a touch of Christ, it remains vital all year long. You don't get tired of it. You go on and on and on, and things remain pretty vital. I find the thing getting dynamic and vital as the year gets on and it comes to a close. But that is when Christ sanctifies the day for you. And whatever comes in that day, you take in the name of Christ. And the totality of your life, you take in the name of Christ. In other words, you insert Christ into your life at every point and see your life in the light of your fellowship with Him. The thing that most intrigues or concerns mankind is that this beautiful mechanism, the brain, the nervous system, and so on, should suddenly just be decayed and disintegrate in the earth. That's a very offensive thought to people. But what a thrill to know that death does not hold such a thing for us. There is no need of fearing the grave. Touching of the life by Christ adds permanence to that life. As the water touched by Christ became permanent in the wine that it was made. This is the great lesson of it. Now you've got the third day thing in there, which is the resurrection life, life out of death, and so forth. But the main thing I want us to get is the permanence of the wine as against the stagnant nature of the water. And I want to involve you in the idea that you touch your life with the divine, and He will turn the stagnant pool into something that is permanent and lasting. It's so simple in a way. This was the first miracle of Christ, and so significant as the first one, because all the rest of the miracles would arise out of the fact that now the stagnant pools of earthly religion were touched by Christ, and there came forth a vital, life-giving, permanent substance, which is the life that Christ has now given to us. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the word. Our hearts drink it in. We take it from you. We pray that you will continue to bless every heart here and fill us all with thy Holy Spirit. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.